On Tuesday, January 15th at 10 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents a tribute to Miss Nancy Wilson. An abbreviated version of this program originally aired on March 8th, 2007, during International Working Women's Day programming. That's Tuesday, January 15th at 10 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl's the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones. We are presenting a memorial program in honor of Miss Nancy Wilson. This program originally aired in 2007, before I even had an official Sugar My Bowl time slot. Miss Nancy Wilson was the third person that I had ever interviewed in my life, and I was so happy. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now.
My clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I want some sugar in my bowl.
My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm here speaking with...
I am Miss Nancy Wilson, and I've been that on recording and television, and I've been recording for about 47, 48 years, and I have about 75 albums out. And as I said, it's been 55 years of professional work, and it's been a great long career.
Miss Nancy Wilson, thank you very much for joining us on WBAI 99.5 FM. First off, you were born in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Chillicothe.
Chillicothe.
Chillicothe, Ohio, but I was raised in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And what was that like? Growing up in Ohio and music in Ohio. What was the music?
Well, I actually think that growing up in Ohio, having the roots that I did and coming from a family extended with many grandparents and not being urban, has been a great salvation. It's been one of the things that has kept and given me the longevity. I'm glad that I came up in Ohio and not New York City or Chicago. I was a big fish in a small pond. I had a television show at 15.
Yes, I noticed that. You won a contest.
Well, actually, I didn't win the contest. They took me out of the contest.
Oh.
They did not want me to participate, so they gave me a TV show instead.
Oh, my goodness. Now, why did they take you out of the contest?
Well, they didn't think, this is very arrogant sounding, but they didn't feel that it would be much of a contest if I were in it.
Did they think that you were going to automatically win?
Yes.
Okay.
So consequently, they took asked me, would I mind? And then they got someone else from West High School to represent. I was representing my high school.
Okay.
And they were very impressed, and they gave me a TV show.
Oh, wonderful. Tell me about Skyline Melodies.
Melody was on it twice a week.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Thursdays after the news.
What kind of show was that?
People would write in or call in to the television station requesting something be sung to them for their birthday or for their anniversary, or and I had just a piano player who had absolutely no sense of communication. And I would ask him questions, because I'm, you know, I've always been glib, and I would ask him questions, and he would have a one-word answer. Mm. So I carried the whole time by myself, literally.
How long but was it? Was it a half 15 hour?
Minutes, oh, 15 okay. minutes twice a week. Yeah, okay. It was fun. This was in 1952.
Wow.
It was a long time ago. But I enjoyed it, and uh-huh. I never thought too much about it. It was just really kind of neat.
Uh-huh.
You know? I did a lot of television. I did a lot of variety shows, Carol Burnett, some others, brothers. And then NBC wanted me to do that Saturday night hour-and-a-half slot called The Nancy Wilson Show, which I did, and we won an Emmy for.
Yes.
And since they did not pick it nationally, I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, if it wasn't going to go national, because the show was absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
But that's the slot that Saturday Night Live got, so.
I see.
I can't complain.
Okay. Have you ever been on there?
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Nor would I want to be.
Okay, fine.
Okay. No, I mean, that's not a showcase for Nancy Wilson.
Oh,
I don't
know. Okay.
No, I think that takes me totally out of my element and someplace I don't really want to go.
Okay.
I wouldn't be comfortable at all.
All right.
I don't mind comedy, but we're talking Carol Burnett here.
Right. That's a different type of comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. And the third show?
Red Hot and Cool.
Oh.
Which was a show just, it was a syndication in order to bring jazz really to television.
Mm.
Because there really wasn't much on. And that, I can't even remember how many shows we did.
Mm.
But that was fun because I was able to have Joe Williams on.
Oh.
Laws and Ronnie Laws,
wow.
Eloise, you know, just so many of the brilliant musicians.
When was that?
When?
Yes.
Oh, please don't ask me questions where I have to remember things like that.
Excuse me.
I don't have a clue with it.
Okay, okay.
I can tell you what some of the dresses look like, but don't ask me what year it was.
Okay.
I know that Angela Dean did the bustiers and all that stuff for the clothes. You
all
know,
right.
Don't ask me what the year was. Actually, it was a couple of years. I don't have a clue when that was.
Mm.
But I got most of. I was able to get most of the major artists to come in, and we would do the show, and it was just. I just loved it. It was great.
Now you sang in church as well, didn't you?
A little, but okay. I don't feel that I have a gospel background per se. I was not. I've always sung secular music, and I've always accepted it as a gift,
mm-hmm.
and known that God gave it to me.
Okay.
And did not feel that I was a sinner because I sang Street of Dreams at 10.
Excellent.
You know, I just didn't. That was not the God that I knew.
Right.
When I was not allowed to sing in the choir at, you know, the Pentecostal church, I went to the Methodist church and sang in their choir.
Wait, you weren't allowed to sing in the choir?
Oh, no. No.
Oh.
You don't sing in the pulpit and sing secular music.
Right.
At that point in time, we're talking, I was 15 years old.
Right.
So I could not sing in the choir there. But I did. I was a lead singer with my mom and her sisters, and I recall at a very young age being on a bill at a church with Claire Ward and her singers. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, but I sang everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been singing and performing, really,
right.
since I was 3 or 4 years old.
Wow.
It was one of those things that everybody knew this little kid is a, you know, she just is a show-off. That's what it is, too. I mean, this is what she does. There's no, I don't come from a show business family or anything.
Uh-huh.
It was, as I say, it was a gift. It was a blessing.
Now, tell me about Rusty Bryant's Carolyn Club. What is
well,
that
Rusty
band?
Bryant was it was a great musician who had a big hit national single. I have read from time to time that I worked at the Club Carolyn
mm-hmm.
with Rusty. I did not.
Oh, I see.
I sat in on my prom night with the Rusty Bryant band, and Rusty Bryant was at my home the next morning to ask my father if I could go on the road with the band, which I said no to, not my dad.
Oh.
I eventually did go. I went to school. I went to Central State for a while,
mm-hmm.
But the work was always there.
Right.
It was very difficult to stay in school, talk about I'm you know, going to be a teacher because I knew I wasn't, and the work was already there. I'd already been working in clubs. Before the Rusty Bryant band, I sang with a band all over Ohio for all of the events, you know,
mm-hmm.
like the Jack and Jill's and the Lynx and everybody, with Sir Raleigh Randolph and his Sultans of Swing, even before the Rusty Bryant band.
Wow.
But Rusty had a great band, and we did a lot of Midwestern things. We had a great, great, great band. Just three pieces. A great drummer, phenomenal B. Hammond organist, Hank Marr, who, when he passed last year, was he was a professor at Ohio State. But I've always been fortunate to have some of the best musicians in the world around me and playing for and with me.
I've certainly heard that on the most recent recordings. Those musicians are...
Aren't they wonderful?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about more of that later. You met Cannonball
Adderley. I met Cannonball Adderley
yes.
way earlier. Rusty Bryant introduced me to Cannon. I guess I was... The first year I was with him, they were in New York recording. At least Rusty was. I did not. I was just there because we were on our way to Rochester or someplace.
Okay.
And... he introduced me to. We were on the corner of 52nd and Broadway. Everything happens. You cross corners. That's the corner, crossroads of the world is 52nd and Broadway.
Right.
And because I was fairly prominent in Ohio, anytime anybody came through, they heard about this kid that was, the singer in Columbus. Cannon, I ran into the next time he was with Miles.
Oh, okay.
And Nat was with Lyle Hampton. But we stayed in touch. He was with John Levy Management, and that was the manager that I wanted once I decided that I would be ready to go do this. And then they had a Nat and Ann and Cannon, and it was a wonderful family atmosphere. So that was just right up my alley. It was the kind of thing that I wanted. I knew two people when I got to New York, two families, and that was the Adderleys and the girl who was my roommate, Sandra LaForte, who was the singer with Johnny Hammond Smith, the organist.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So... When I decided, everything was in place. It wasn't like I was in New York looking around and asking questions.
Well, I understood you had a goal of 6 months, and it wound up being, what, 6 weeks or something?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I went there in October, and the thing was to get a showcase, I guess it would be, someplace where I was performing. Mm-hmm. John had already heard my tapes. His assistant was from Cleveland, Ohio, so John Levy just couldn't really escape. You know, and everybody who came in from Columbus, because there was a great club there that Rusty and I kind of put on the map, and then everybody would come through, and then they knew about Nancy, you know, and they would go back and tell John. So John was aware of the fact that I existed. So when I did, within a couple of weeks, I went up to hear that first group that I sat in with the Blue Morocco in the Bronx on Boston Post Road. And within a week or so of having just gone up there and sang, just for the fun of it, Irene Reed was the house singer.
Mm-hmm.
And within a week or so, she broke her leg.
Oh.
And the Blue Morocco called and asked if I would take her place.
Wow, you were the understudy, huh?
So I stayed. I worked that club for a year.
Oh, okay.
All the while I was recording.
Oh, I see.
I stayed there, and I was working in the daytime, and I had hours that allowed me... And I worked for the New York Institute of Technology, and ended up being a secretary to the dean. I went there as a switchboard operator, but I really had a wonderful relationship with them, and they gave me the time off to go have photos taken and go sit in and do the demo sessions and whatnot. So it couldn't have been better. The doors just were open.
Now, when you recorded, the first time you recorded, was it with
Big
Capital?
Band.
Oh.
Capital.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I did one set, one song, Caravan or something, with Rusty Bryant.
Okay.
I was not signed with any label, but he was on Dot Records, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never signed with any label other than Capitol at that point in time.
Don't throw bouquets at me. Much. Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Don't sigh and gaze at me. Your sighs are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine. People will say give me my rose and my glove. Sweetheart, they're suspecting things. People will say we're in love. stars fade from above. They'll say it's all right with me. People will say we're in love. Yeah, people will say we're in love.
First album came out in April of 1960.
Oh.
It was called Like in Love, and arranged by Billy May. Produced it. The producer was important because I only wanted David Cavanaugh as a producer.
Mm.
John Levy as the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Capitol. Well, those are the things I wanted, and I had them, and that they all kind of went together within a matter of weeks. So Guess Who I Saw Today came out 6 months later in an album called Something Wonderful.
Oh, and that is Something Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I fix your quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day too. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I went in town to shop around for something new, and thought I'd stop and have a bite when I was through. I looked around for some place near, and it occurred to me where I had parked the car. There was a most attractive French cafe and bar. It really wasn't very far. The waiter showed me to a dark, secluded corner, and as my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, I saw two people at the bar who were so in love that even I could spot it clear across the room. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I've never been so shocked before. I headed blindly through the door. They didn't see me passing through. Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today?
How many times do you think that you've recorded Guess Who I Saw Today?
I haven't recorded it more than one. Live was two.
Okay.
And then there was another live album, so that would be three.
Oh, okay.
And I think when they did the live at the Sands, that was four. So I have never gone back in to do it unless it was live.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a wonderful song. Is that your...
That's
pretty much
song.
It. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the person who wrote it?
Murray Grand.
Yeah.
It was from New Faces of 1952.
Oh.
And it was a Broadway show tune.
Okay.
That I heard by Carmen McRae.
Mm.
And she had an album called By Special Request. I was 15 when I started singing it.
Mm.
And somebody said, how can you be singing a song like that? And I said, well, I don't need to be hit over the head with a hammer to understand what pain is.
Yeah.
And so I have sung that song literally every night I perform since I was 15.
Wow.
And I don't regret it. It was one of the best pieces of material I've ever heard.
Hmm.
I loved it by Carmen. And prior to her death, she and I discussed it. She said there was no doubt in her mind where I'd heard it. She knew that it was that I'd heard it. But Edie Gourmet had also done it.
Yes, I noticed.
But Carmen was very proud of the fact that it had done so much for me.
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I fix you a quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day to. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I went in town to shop around for something new, and thought I'd stop and have a bite when I was through. I looked around someplace near, and it occurred to me where I had parked the car, there was a most attractive French cafe and bar. It really wasn't very far. The waiter showed me to a dark, secluded corner, and as my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, I saw two people at the bar who were so much in love that even I could spot it clear across the room. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I've never been so shocked before. I headed blindly through the door. See me passing through. Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today?
So the first one was Like in Love, second, Something Wonderful, the third was The Swinging Mutual with George Shearing.
Never felt the softness of his tender kiss. Don't know if he's weak or strong. All I know is he's in every dream I dream all night long. never heard him speak a single word of love. Never knew his favorite song. 'Cause he only speaks to me in dreams I dream all night long. When I sleep, he tells me he's in love with me and how much he needs me to be near. But at best a dream is just a fantasy. If I touch his hand, he'll disappear. No, 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 no. I don't want a love that's just a memory. Fate, how could you be so wrong? Now I gotta find the man who's haunting me.
And that's another great one, too.
I love that. That's anytime they do any kind of polls or anything, that's the best combination of vocals and jazz album ever. So I'm very proud of that, very pleased.
Wish I knew why I'm so in love with you. No one else in this world will do. Darling, please save your love for me. Run away. If I were wise, I'd run away. But like a fool in love, I stay and pray you'll save your love for me. I can feel it even when you're not here. Can't conceal it, I really love you, my dear. And though I know no good can come from loving you, I can't do a thing. Oh, I'm so in love with you. So darling, see on a fool like me. I know I'm lost, but still I plead. Darling, please save your love for me. You may have fun in the crowd, but for crying out loud, darling, please save your love for me.
There's one song that you did that, I don't know, I really like it. Never Will I Marry?
That's with Cannonball.
Yeah.
That's from Broadway. Also.
Yeah.
Frank Lesser.
Yes.
Now, that's one of the few people that I know who wrote the song.
That was a very good song. I really
don't
like
ask
it.
Me what show it was from, but
no, I
do
I
know it is Frank Lesser.
But that is a definite favorite. I'm trying not to make it
that.
My theme song.
That. Don't do that. Don't do that. Never say never, because
right.
I didn't think that I'd ever remarry, and I did.
Uh-huh.
That was 35 years ago.
Wow.
So never say never.
Never, never will I wed. Born to wander solitary, wide my world, narrow my bed. Never, never, never will I marry. Born to wander till I'm dead. No burdens to bear, no conscience, no
everything in
mm-hmm.
the Cannonball album. Speaking of the Cannonball album,
yes.
There is going to be released this year a tribute to Cannonball.
Oh.
And they're redoing a lot of the things that Cannon did, and I'm doing two. We redid Save Your Love for Me.
Oh.
And The Masquerade is Over.
Oh.
I want them to funk it up a little bit more than they did, but I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's with George Duke, Marcus Miller, Steve Gadd, and Terrence Blanchard,
and
Tom Scott.
Okay, wow.
And that it was the quintet, so we just had so much fun.
Wow.
That was really a lot of fun. So they can look forward to that in the fall.
In the fall,
just,
okay.
They just finished mixing it. So.
Oh, okay. What label is that on?
I have no idea.
Okay, sorry.
It's Tom Scott.
Okay.
It's the same. Greg Fields produced it. He also produced the Ray Charles with Count Basie.
Okay. Was that the one that won a Grammy?
No, How Glad I Am won a Grammy in
64.
Okay.
What was from that? That
How Glad I Am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My love has no beginning. My love has no end. No front or back, and my love won't bend. I'm in the middle, lost in a spin, loving you. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how glad I am. My love has no bottom, my love has no top. My love won't rise and my love won't drop. I'm a little
and I can't stop loving you. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how glad I am. I wish I were a poet so I could express what I'd like to say. Yeah. I wish I were an artist so I could paint a picture of how I feel. There's no walls on either side. That makes my love wider than wide. I'm in the middle, and I can't hide loving you. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't. And you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know how glad I am. How glad I am. How glad I am.
But it was in the R&B category, so I to this day don't understand that, nor do I care.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I don't worry about things like that.
Well, I was talking to Patty Austin, and we were talking about how different singers who... or good singers are mm-hmm. able to sing anything.
So that's
it's like
what,
good
that's,
musicians.
That's, right, exactly. That's a song stylist. Patty is
right.
that way.
Right.
Patty can sing jazz, R&B,
right.
I mean, whatever you want to call it. We are who we are.
Right.
And it depends on the music that surrounds us, what kind of category, if you must label it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we don't change what we do according to the music that's behind us. We are who we are. And Patty is, oh, my Lord, one of the best ever. What she did. The greatest tribute to Ella Fitzgerald that anybody could ever hope to hear.
Yes.
She's brilliant. I just love her to death.
You did a Patty Austin song on...
Yes, that was probably with Ramsey, yeah.
Yeah. That
but
was
then somebody said to me, I said, don't start asking me what song was on what album.
When I look into my heart, I feel all of the joy that was there. Then I look into your eyes and see all of the joy that we both share. I don't want to wish for love too hard, but now all of my dreams are of you. And if dreams come true, then you'll be my first time love. Could want you more.
from now to December, it's Christmas always. Yeah, that it's true. Yes, you are my first time. But you are my first time love, and nobody else could want you more than I did. 'Cause it's you that I love, yes, it's you that I love, and nevermore again could there be a better friend. Oh, I had my wish, now my wish has come true. I needed some love, and then there was you. Could ask for more, 'cause you are my first time love. Love. My first time love.
Do you select any of the songs that you
play? I select every song I do.
Excellent. Excellent.
Always have.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just you like the song or do you like the arranger?
The story.
Okay.
It's okay. The story. The arranging is done after the song is picked.
Mm-hmm.
People right now are submitting new material because I'm seriously considering doing an album of songs that no one has ever heard.
Mm.
So they will be, we will get about 30 to 40 songs, and I will pick 12.
Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, tell me about the recording that you did with Barry Manilow.
Oh, that was fun. I ran into the producer in an elevator in, I think it was Osaka.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I was with Columbia at that time, as was Barry.
Okay.
And he asked me what I thought, because just between the 12th floor and bottom, he said, I have the perfect project for you. If you'd be interested, there's some Mercer lyrics, you know, some Johnny Mercer things that Barry Manilow's working on. I said, call me when we both get back to the States, and it was a done deal.
Thank you.
was that easy. Then you said Johnny Mercer.
Right.
Johnny Mercer, I adored. He was one of the reasons I wanted to go to Capitol in the first place. He was one of the owners.
Oh, okay.
And it was a singer's label. It was a musician's label.
Right.
And it was all about the music as opposed to suits and lawyers.
Wow. Now, tell me about Billy May.
Well, Billy May did he did a lot of the first 12, maybe. He did not do How Glad I Am. That was Oliver Nelson, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think, yeah. And a lot of Jimmy Jones, a lot of Gerald Wilson, a lot of Sid Feller. Had some really wonderful arrangers through the years. But Billy didn't do them all, but my favorite album Billy May did do the arrangement for, and that's Lush Life.
Oh, okay.
And to get a letter from him, and we both felt the same way, and that there was a reason, you know, that God saw fit to put us here together at the same time to do this, because it's an absolutely perfect album.
Why so swift? Must you always wander? River shallow, while you drift, there are things to ponder. River shallow, must you race endless in your travel? River shallow, quit your pace, let your dreams unravel. Stand your ground and get unwound. River, must you be? Running round, forever bound for the deep. So I might remind you, river shallow, this I know, love will never find you.
Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl is the name of this program, and our featured guest for the evening is This Is the Miss Nancy Wilson Memorial Broadcast. We're spending this evening rebroadcasting an interview that I conducted with Miss Nancy Wilson in 2007. What you're listening to right now in the background is One Man's Dream from Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley. This is a 1961 Capitol Records release. Nancy Wilson is the song stylist, and that is how I shall be referring to her this evening, which is what she called herself. Cannonball Adderley on alto saxophone, Nat Adderley on cornet, Joe Zawinul on piano, Sam Jones on bass, Louis Hayes on drums. Before that, River Shallow from Nancy Wilson's 1967 Capitol Records release, Lush Life. Nancy Wilson, song stylist. John Collins, guitar. Don Traynor, piano. Buster Williams, bass. Shelly Mann, drums. Victor Feldman and Larry Bunker, percussion. Before that, the title selection from With My Lover Beside Me. Nancy Wilson, 1991 Columbia Records release. Barry Manilow wrote the music, and he's also co-producer. Kurt Whalum is the saxophone soloist. Before that, we heard First Time Love. That's a Patty Austin, Dave Grusin, Harvey Mason composition from the 2002 Narada Jazz release Meant to Be from Ramsey Lewis and Nancy Wilson. Nancy Wilson, song stylist. Ramsey Lewis on piano, Larry Gray on bass, Ernie Adams on drums. Before that, You Don't Know How Glad I Am, the title selection from the 1964 Capitol Records release. Before that, we heard Never Will I Marry and Save Your Love for Me, also from the Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley release. Before that, the George Shearing Quintet with Nancy Wilson. All Night Long is the name of that tune, from the 1960 Capitol Records release, The Swingin's Mutual. Before that, guess who I saw today? The original version from Carmen McRae and Ray Bryant from the Complete Recordings, Gambit Records, originally recorded in 1957 on Afterglow. This is from a 2005 compilation. Before that, from Nancy Wilson's 1960 Capitol Records release, Something Wonderful, arranged by Billy May, Nancy Wilson's song stylist, Ben Webster, tenor saxophone, Jack Marshall on guitar, Joe Comfort on bass, and Shelly Mann on drums. Before that, People Will Say We're in Love from Nancy Wilson's 1959 Capitol Records release, Like in Love. This was arranged and conducted by Billy May. And, of course, we opened our program with Nina Simone, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl. This is from the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is an RCA BMG release, originally recorded in 1967. This is from a 1998 compilation. Stay tuned for our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams, and more from Ms. Nancy Wilson, right here on Sugar in My Bowl, on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for January 15th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests, so you can see them live. And tonight's show is a tribute to the late Nancy Wilson, but we have more listings for you this week. We start with bassist Ron Carter, who's at the Village Vanguard with Emmett Cohen's trio through January 20th. Trumpeter Freddie Hendricks is at Zinc Bar on January 16th. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls, and that's also on the 16th. Bassist Christian McBride is at Brooklyn Bowl on the 17th with DJ Logic. Drummer Francisco Mora Catlett leads Afro Horn at Zinc Bar on the 19th. Tubist Joe Daly is at Terra Blues with Hazmat Modine on the 19th and February 2nd. Pianist Mark Carey's Harlem Sessions series continues with late Saturday night sets at Smoke on the 19th and 26th. Looking a little further ahead, pianist Vijay Iyer is at the Jazz Standard from the 22nd through 27th, leading a trio, sextet, and his ritual ensemble on various nights. Drummer William Hooker is at Shapeshifter Lab on the 23rd. Drummer Leon Parker is at Smoke with Ugana Ukegwo's quartet on the 24th. Billy Hart, Billy Harper, Cecil McBee, and Eddie Henderson are all at Dizzy's Club with the Cookers from the 24th through the 27th. Trombonist Dick Griffin leads a Rahsaan Roland Kirk tribute at Brooklyn's Sister's Place on the 26th. Trumpeter Freddie Hendricks is at Smoke for a Cannonball Adderley tribute with Antonio Hart's quintet from the 26th through the 28th. Drummer Billy Hart leads a quartet at the Village Vanguard from the 29th through February 3rd. The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble is at the Blue Note from January 31st through February 3rd. Percussionist Bobby Neil Clark is at the City College of New York's Aaron Davis Hall for the Malcolm X Suite on February 1st. Finally, Vision Fest promoters Arts for Art have two January series coming up. Justice's Compassion runs from the 16th through the 21st at New Blue on the Lower East Side, with performances every night. Highlights include drummer William Hooker on the 20th and bassist William Parker on the 21st to close the festival with the Artists for a Free World Ensemble. Arts for Art takes the series on the road to Holo in Ridgewood, Queens on the 24th and 31st and February 7th and 14th. William Parker and saxophonist James Brandon Lewis kick off the Queen series on the 24th. And also, 2019 Vision Fest dates have been announced, so mark your calendars for June 11th through 16th at Roulette in downtown Brooklyn. We've got all that linked in our blog, and we'll have full Vision coverage as the dates get closer. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news. And sugar is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website. And if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. If you really like what we do, please help the station stay on the air by pledging whatever you can, and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. The support WBAI link on the Sugar in My Bowl website has details, and we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off. With our new weekly schedule, we'll be back on air next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and have updated event listings online. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
Hi, this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys? Anybody see my keys? Who took my keys?
Every now and then you run across an album, the whole totality of it. Every song, every note. You know, so that was what I meant by, you know, the perfect album. So in my career, Lush Life has always stood out for me with a great selection of material, with the phenomenal arrangements. I've done some other things that are just as good, but Lush Life really has just always been my favorite. Now, there's, of course, you know, it runs a close first with the Cannonball Adderley album because of what it did, mm-hmm. and the fact that the musicianship on it was so great. I've been blessed. I mean, yeah. As I say, everybody's not able to do all of the things that I've been able to do with the musicians through the years. I'm happy to work with Ramsey, and I go back way back with Shearing and Ramsey and Cannon. All of us were with John Levy. They're getting ready to put another one together, and we have asked that they specifically re-release it and put out the Live at the Coconut Grove.
Oh,
CD.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
As a special, you know, that's something that, I mean, it doesn't get better than Live at the Coconut Grove. Mm-hmm. And that was just unbelievable, because with the success of that, it was at the Coconut Grove, and it was 1964. Newsweek was there, Time Magazine. That night was, and it was being recorded live.
Mm.
It had never been on the floor. I had broken it in and San Francisco at the Fairmont Hotel, and if that night was successful, then the career was established.
Mm.
although, you know, I'd been working a while, but it was going to establish me nationally and globally.
Wow.
So that was a vital, probably the most important night as far as the career is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, piece of cake.
From out the sky, and the sky feels blue. Tear a petal from a rose, and the
Carrington. I have no idea which label that's on, but I met everybody there,
okay.
But I can't remember. It's a smaller label that's not like Columbia or anything, but she, the last CD she did, really, really did well.
Yeah. Had you ever worked together before?
Yeah, on Arsenio's show.
Oh.
Many times. See,
okay.
Michael Wolfe was with me for years. John B. Williams was with me and still has been up until recently, because he's really, I don't work enough, really, to warrant keeping him. Also, we did Billie Holiday.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I was the narrator for that.
That's right.
In Los Angeles, yes.
She mentioned that when
phenomenal.
Rita Coolidge wasn't there, you were there.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
That was a lineup. There was Diane Reeves and...
Oh, it was great.
Oh, all sorts of folks.
It was wonderful.
Wow.
And I got it to be out there and stand out there and lead it and just be able to tell them all about this and... do the narration, because, you know, I love that stuff. That's what I get for doing Jazz Profiles with NPR.
Exactly. And it seems as though, speaking of Jazz Profiles, you wound up being an educator.
I wound up getting educated.
Okay.
By doing it, because the scripts, I mean, you think that you know all of these things.
Right.
You think people assume that you know mm-hmm. all of these people, but the bottom line is generally we are all working different places.
Right.
And you don't necessarily get to know. I never got to know other musicians like I knew Nat and Cannonball Adderley because mm-hmm. we became family.
Right.
So it is a little different. I know James Moody today, mm-hmm. although I heard James Moody. I was 15 years old the first time I heard him.
Wow.
I see him and his wife frequently now. You know, I've seen him more since he turned 78 than I ever did in the early years.
And
know.
He was on Turn
oh,
Blue.
Oh, he's on all. He's been on. He was with the Dizzy Gillespie Alumni All Star Bands on RSVP too.
Yes. Now, is Jimmy Scott really? He's been attributed to being your inspiration.
Yes. But not inspiration. I don't like that word.
Okay.
God is my inspiration.
Okay.
So talk about inspiration.
Okay.
I sound like Jimmy Scott.
Yes. Stylings.
Yes.
Are similar. Yes.
Yeah. The bending of note words, not notes necessarily, but yes. the emphasis and the phrasing is truly Jimmy Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I remember once I had recorded I Wish I Didn't Love You So, and I heard his version of it, and you can't tell the difference, the first 16 bars.
I didn't love you so. My love for you should have faded long ago. Torture me as long as this. I might be smiling right now with some new tender friend. Smiling right now with my heart on the mend, but when I try, something in my heart says no. You're still there, I wish I didn't love you so. But when I try, something in my heart says you're still there. I wish I didn't love you so. Should have faded long ago. one more. Your kiss torture me as long as this. I should be smiling by now with a new tender friend, smiling by now with my heart on the mend. But when I try, something here inside says no, and still I wished I didn't love you so. I should be smiling by now with a new tender friend, smiling by now with my heart. Something here inside says no, and still I wished I didn't love you so.
I mean, the entrance was exactly the same.
Wow.
We'd never heard one another sing it.
Wow.
I didn't even know Jimmy. I
uh-huh.
just knew the voice, and I knew I loved what he did.
Uh-huh.
And then just kept talking about him, until I think Ruth Brown, Bonnie Raitt, and I talked Jimmy Scott back up.
Mm.
And I remember we threw this great party when he opened at the Cine Grill for the first time that he was working in many years.
Mm.
I never will forget it. It was wonderful.
Have you ever recorded together?
No, they've been trying to get that together this past year. I don't
uh-huh.
know that it will happen.
Okay.
They have my support. I'm just hoping that they can. His manager and I talk frequently
mm-hmm.
to see if it can be done. I'm hoping that they do.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Get it done.
Tell me about Marty and Jay.
Marty
Ashby.
And Jay Ashby.
Yeah.
They are the producers, and they literally run Manchester Craftsman's Guild, MCG,
uh-huh.
A jazz. It's a small label.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonprofit.
Mm. How does that happen?
it's in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I married Pittsburgh.
Okay.
The Manchester Craftsman's Guild is one of the greatest organizations. They do so much for the community. They teach. You can get a degree there. You can learn photography. You can learn geology. You can learn ophthalmology.
I understand they have a youth education program.
Very much so. Mm. We also grow our own prize-winning orchids.
Oh.
Okay. This is and it's going to spread. It's spreading to other cities: Cincinnati,
huh.
San Francisco. It is run by a gentleman named Bill Strickland.
Okay.
But it's an outgrowth of the Bidwell Presbyterian Church.
Oh.
It used to be Bidwell Cultural and Training Center. I married the director of the Bidwell Cultural and Training Center. 35 years ago.
That's how you got involved.
But no, and it was many years before I ever even knew that they had, I don't ever have a clue. I can't remember why I went there for some reason or another. And I went to see the Guild and to see the work. And, oh, the place just blows me away. I'm very proud to be a part of that.
Wow.
And I actually, the first thing I did with them was the Christmas album, and I gave it away. I mean,
right.
I gave it to them
right.
because of the work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed that, you know, hey, it was the biggest thing. Boy, it was a huge album. So I was happy for them, and I was happy about everything. And I liked their attitude. They're musicians. One
yes.
plays trombone, one plays guitar. And the production values are phenomenal.
Oh, it's incredible. When I was listening to it, I was like, oh, my goodness, this doesn't sound like a small label.
All of this is done there.
Amazing.
They have the studio. They have the, you know, it's there. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
So there, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I'm with MCG.
Excellent.
We don't have a contract or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that I believe in doing good work for good people.
Wow, that's excellent. And it's definitely been good to you.
Well, I've done three, and
right.
two, one back-to-back Grammys.
Yeah. Right, right. RSVP, Rare Songs, Very Personal,
mm-hmm.
and Turn
to
Blue, which was this year.
This year.
This year.
Yeah, that was Dr. Maya Angelou's poem. The music was done by Jay Ashby.
Right. I love that piece.
All of the background is Jay Ashby.
Our summer's gone, the golden days are through. The rosy dawns I used to wake with you have turned to gray. My love has turned to blue. My life has turned to blue. The once green lawns glisten now with dew. Red robin's gone down to the southy blue. Left here alone. My love has turned to blue. My life has turned to blue. I've heard the news that when brings a sign that summer's dear last. But until I see you lying green grass, my life has turned.
I am.
mean, that's the most phenomenal thing I've ever heard.
I love that one.
I do too. I'm trying to.
Actually, I love the whole thing, but
I'm
I really
to figure
love
out a way that I can do it on stage because it's very hard because you really need that background to a degree. So, but Lou Matthews, who's my conductor, we're trying to figure out how we can make it work.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. If I were working more, we would have figured it out already.
Yeah, it was really interesting in that I read somewhere that you're not touring?
No.
How does
I'm not.
And you're just doing
what I want.
Right, okay.
Which isn't very much.
Which is fine.
And I'll be in Carnegie Hall in May, end of May, and the Hollywood Bowl end of August.
Okay.
There, I think they have quite a few people coming out to celebrate the fact that this is my 70th year, so that's going to be fun.
Did you have any favorites on Turn to Blue?
Old Folks.
I like that one, too.
Everyone knows him as Old Folks. Like the seasons, he comes and he'll go. Just as free as a bird and as good as his word. That's why everybody loves him so. Oh, leaving his food and his coffee, and he tucks his napkin up under his chin, and his old corn cob pipe is so mellow it's ripe. But you needn't be ashamed of him. In the evenings after supper, what stories he tells. How he held the speech at Gettysburg on Lincoln. You know, I know that one so well. One thing we don't know about old folks. Did he fight for the blue or the gray? But he is so democratic and so diplomatic. We just always let him have his way. What stories he tells.
he held the speech of Gettysburg, the length of that week. You know, I know that one so well. Someday there'll be no more old folks, and for a lonely old world, this will be my children's voices at play. They'll be still for a day, the day, the day they take old folks away.
It was the last song because I couldn't figure out what the last selection was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was racking my brain. I was listening and listening, and I was sitting in Pittsburgh, and Doc, who is who writes the big band charts,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting there, and I was combing through some Billy Eckstein things,
mm.
and I mentioned Cottage for Sale, and Doc said, "Oh, that was written by such and such man, and he wrote Old Folks."
Mm.
And I said, "That's the last tune, Old Folks." And they thought I was on my cottage. I said, no, Old Folks. It's time. I've known that song, oh, my Lord, for years and years and years. I hadn't thought about it.
Mm.
And I've loved it by Etta Jones.
Oh, okay.
And having lost my dad and both my moms and in the past 6 years, it was time. It was ideal.
Mm.
You know, and when I do it, I'm thinking of our history,
yeah.
we as a black people, and so it took me someplace I wanted to go.
Wow, mm. Excellent. Well, I also love I'll Be Seeing You, which is indeed the last song on the recording. I just love that song.
It's
hearing
one
you
of my
do
favorites.
It.
Yeah, I've sung it at several of my dearest funeral services,
mm-hmm.
and it's been one I've never thought about recording it.
Mm.
But to record it with Dr. Billy Taylor.
Yeah.
Now, as many years as we've known one another, and he has taught me, he has given me stories and, you know, the musical history of Duke Ellington and Washington, D.C., and the Howard Theater and,
uh-huh.
you know, all those kinds of things. Talking with him has been just, you know, the knowledge is unreal just
right.
to listen to Dr. Taylor talk. So Billy and I, as I said, I've known him. When my son will be 44,
mm.
and our children were growing up together,
mm-hmm.
and I know his wife and that kind of thing. We'd never work together.
Huh.
We would be on panels, and we'd be different places together, but we never, ever worked together.
Uh-huh.
So that was very special for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was so happy, and we were all so pleased.
Cathedral bells were tolling, and our hearts sang on. Was it the spell of Paris, or the April dawn? Who knows if we shall meet again? But when the morning chimes ring sweet again, I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this
heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. And everything is light and gay. I will always, always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. Summer's day, and everything that's light and gay, I will always, always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the but I'll be seeing you.
And of course, in all, like an RSVP, Paquito de Rivera.
Yeah.
Lean. So it's that kind of musical family that we have. You know, we just have some marvelous musicians who are doing some of the most wonderful work that anyone... I mean, who would believe that Jimmy Heath and Moody and them would be playing at the height of their at this age and playing with so much strength and power. So I'm very proud of my guys. Those are my gentlemen, and I adore them.
Well, speaking of RSVP, Little Green Apples.
Yeah, O.C.
I just love it. It's,
basically, it's... came out of Lou Matthews, my conductor. Yeah. Well, I had recorded it once before, but having lost O.C. Around the same time I lost my mom and dad.
I see.
Yeah, and O.C. was my pastor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So City of Angels was my church, and Elsie was, one of his little kids tried to drown himself in my pool one day.
Oh, goodness.
Jumping off the board. Oh, diving. Can you swim? I don't know.
Oh, no.
just he was about six, so that's how far back Elsie and I go.
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and he says, hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And he reaches out, takes my hand, squeezes it and says, how you doing, hon? And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, and all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime, and there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland and Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when my son is feeling low, I think about his face aglow to ease my mind. Sometimes I call him up at home, knowing he's busy. And I ask if he could get away and meet me and grab a bite to eat. And he drops what he's doing, and he hurries down to meet me, and I'm always late. But he sits waiting patiently, and he smiles when he first sees me, 'cause he's made that way. And if that's not loving me, all I gotta say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis when the winter comes. And there's no such thing as make-believe, puppy dogs and autumn leaves, no BB guns. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about his face aglow to ease my mind. God didn't make little green apples, it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. There's no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. God did make little green apples, it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about his face aglow to eat.
I just loved him. He was so special, and he was at my children's Sweet 16s, and He was at their baby showers, their weddings, and I mean, he was very much a part of my family.
Mm.
He was at my parents' 50th wedding anniversary, things like that. So that was my way of saying thank you. And another voice that means a great deal to me is that of Daryl Coley, the right Reverend Daryl Coley.
Yes, love it. Yeah, the gospel.
Yeah. Yes, but he was on the Two of Us album with Ramsey.
Oh,
20 years ago.
Okay.
Some rather go with all the world and never spend time finding where their heart belongs.
Some prefer to love and leave, not wanting to reveal a feeling deep inside, a love that could be real. For some this is okay, but I can't sleep one night without your precious love around me.
Interesting.
we've been tied ever since. So
oh, wow.
What's the expression I use? My peeps. So I have a lot of friends in the gospel field. Yolanda Adams is one of my children.
Oh, okay.
And there's, you know, I adored Shirley Caesar.
Mm.
And the voice that just thrills me to my toes is
Isabella
Armstrong, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I would love to hear some other things by her.
Mm.
But the gospel music, the field is no different than the secular.
That is true. It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's
trying to find labels and whatnot.
Right.
Know. So it's all the same.
And the singer is getting the same sort of criticism of
and treatment,
singing.
Yeah, or non-treatment.
Right.
Yeah. The beauty of it, as I was trying to explain to someone, that was, well, why don't you record with? I said, I love the people.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but it's about finesse. It's about
right.
being. You know, melding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about extremes.
Right.
You really need to think. I mean, I love Kenny Lattimore doing it.
I was just thinking of him.
Wow, you know.
That was amazing. I was really surprised, pleasantly impressed and surprised at how well the two of you sounded together.
Yeah, I loved it. So that's the kind of voice I'm looking for. Yeah.
Why
did I move? Why did I want him? Why? I want you. What could you offer me? You offer me just a life to last my lifetime through,
my whole life through.
And when I lost my heart,
because I remember going in one time and they had this great singer, absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? Our voices are, he's got this big, huge bottom sound.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that this is going to work. And it didn't,
of course,
not to my surprise, I knew that it was wrong.
Right.
But certain people, I didn't feel like bumping heads. You hear it. I won't have to say one word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no point in arguing. All I have to do is let it play itself out.
Right.
And then we went, and Daryl Coley did it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was perfect. And they asked me, and I said, I know just whose voice to do it. He didn't listen to me in the first place. But this person was on the label, and I guess they thought that would be something.
Right.
But I said, I love the person, but it doesn't. Vocally, it doesn't work.
Right. Is there anybody you want to work with still? I mean, that you haven't gotten a chance yet?
Here again, someone else, we were talking about this the other day.
Mm.
A good friend. And I said, it isn't really about who you would want to work with. It's about the selection of material.
Right.
Does the song warrant it?
Okay.
Is it something, I don't want to work for work's sake.
Okay.
I work now, the bands, the big band that I love is the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. And some of the better, like Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia, symphonies are phenomenal. But to say that anybody you really want to work with, that, who knows? The only thing I'm sorry that I did not, I think that in the 60s and early 70s, Johnny Mathis and I should have recorded together. Whether the material would work today, I don't know. But that would be it. And then there's, because I've worked with Michelle Legrand, so I worked with Q. So, I mean, I've pretty much covered it. There probably are some European or, I probably would enjoy, because I've worked with Masiko Sato, you know, who was with me on many of the things I did in Tokyo. So I've pretty much covered it. I got a chance to work with Dexter Gordon and Ben Webster, and you know, that doesn't get much better. So I mean, I've really had the best of the best.
Well, Miss Wilson, Miss Nancy Wilson, thank you very much for spending this time with us.
It has been my pleasure.
Oh, I have one more question for you with regard to what working stuff you'll do. Voiceovers. Have you ever considered do you have like a desire to do regular voiceovers?
I've done some. Okay. I would do an audio book. I would love that. I'm in the Old Testament for the Bible experience. I'm voice of some of the Proverbs and the 47th Psalm. So I love that. And in fact, they asked me about audiobooks the other day, so I listen to audiobooks all the time. That would be something. And I'm also a voice in Shrek 3.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
In a nightclub scene doing a little bit of I've Never Been to Me.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
So all those little things. And I'm also a star with my grandsons because I'm in the Naked Brothers band movie, the Crazy Car thing. I'm on Nickelodeon.
Are you really? Oh, my gosh.
Saw the movie and saw me, and it was like, I mean, before it was like, that's grandma, right? I don't feel it. But it's like, oh, you're famous. Did you sing Crazy Car? Yes, I sang Crazy Car. Because that's Michael, those are Michael Wolff's boys.
Oh, I see.
And I know Polly Draper is the mom, and I've known the baby, the boys, since they were born. I tell you, I never enjoyed anything so much. And they write, the young one, the older one, writes all the music. And sings. They are the most adorable children. And they have made Grandma big time.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you again for the time that you spent with us.
You take care.
You do the same.
And if I'm not mistaken, people need to support the radio station.
They do indeed.
So I'm just going to throw that out there. This is Nancy Wilson saying, do your part.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and we have been honoring Miss Nancy Wilson this evening with an interview that was originally recorded in 2007. What you're listening to right now is If I Ever Lose This Heaven from Nancy Wilson. Come Get to This. Originally recorded in 1975 on Capitol Records, this is from a 2011 SoulMusic.com reissue. The personnel includes Nancy Wilson, song stylist, George Bohannon, trombone solo, Ernie Watts, tenor saxophone solo, Joe Sample on keyboards, Wilton Felder on bass, and Ms. Bobby Hall on congas. Before that, we heard Little Green Apples from Nancy Wilson's 2004 Manchester Craftsman Guild release, RSVP, Rare Songs, Very Personal. Nancy Wilson, song stylist, Lou Matthews on piano, Dwayne Dolphin on bass, Jamie Haddad on drums. Before that, we heard I'll Be Seeing You from Nancy Wilson's 2006 release, Turn to Blue, from the Manchester Craftsman's Guild. This was Nancy Wilson's most recent release when I had spoken to her at that time. Nancy Wilson, song stylist. This features the pianist, genius, and ancestor, Dr. Billy Taylor. John Clayton, bass. Winard Harper, drums. Before that, we heard Old Folks, also from Turn to Blue, the tenor saxophone soloist, Andy Snitzer. Other personnel includes Tia Fuller, alto saxophone, Sean Jones on trumpet, and Rufus Reed on bass. Before that, we heard the title selection from Turn to Blue, Nancy Wilson, song stylist, Lou Matthews, piano, Kip Reed, bass, Jamie Haddad, drums and percussion, Jay Ashby, marimba, percussion, background vocals, he's also the arranger. The lyrics are from a poem, My Life Has Turned to Blue, from the book Shaker, Why Don't You Sing, by Maya Angelou. Before that, I Wish I Didn't Love You So, Jimmy Scott. Falling in Love is Wonderful, Tangerine Records, originally recorded in 1962. This is a 2002 Rhino Records reissue. Jimmy Scott vocals, Gerald Wilson's the arranger, and Ray Charles has been given a producer credit here. Before that, we heard Nancy Wilson's version of I Wish I Didn't Love You So from Nancy Naturally, 1966, Capitol Records. Before that, we heard Don't Take Your Love From Me from Nancy Wilson's 1964 Capitol Records release, The Nancy Wilson Show, also known as Live at the Coconut Grove. And before that was our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer, Hank Williams. Sugar in My Bowl will be back on Tuesday, January 22nd at 10 p.m. Now that we are a weekly program, stay tuned for Anne-Marie Hendrickson and the mansion that she presents right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Stay tuned.
Hello, bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.